you ready for this? This week on the AOC Podblast, we play detective as we inspect a Moors and ask if it's Moors the merrier or Moors the pity. And was it fair to steal a coach from Columbo just to install him as our Lewis? Then closer to Holmes, we find out what's going on in English county cricket as we sort the Magnum PIs from the Eddie Shoestrings and assess who's had a cracker so far. Podblast.
And you're back in with your all-out cricket Podblast. Alex, who is your favourite TV detective?
Ross, I don't know what it's like in Worcestershire, but it's customary where I come from to say hello to our guests.
Oh, of course. Joe Harmon, hello.
Hello, Ross. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Joe. Who's your favourite TV detective?
Oh, we're stalling for time here, Ross. Ooh. Phil Walker, how are you?
He's gone Morse.
I've been enjoying True Detective.
Well, I was going to say, but I couldn't remember his character.
Rusty Cole.
Yeah. Rust Cole. Wasn't that good, wasn't it?
It was all right.
Oh, come on.
It was brilliant. The
last few episodes, it really took a sort of conventional
turn.
My
girlfriend hasn't been able to sleep for about 3 weeks, though.
Because of True Detective? Okay. Yeah. Who is the Rust Cole of English county cricket?
Probably,
that's the question.
Probably Joey Harmon.
Joe Harmon.
That's about to say exactly the same.
Enough of this self-indulgence. Things are happening in the world of cricket and we need to discuss them.
Oh, so, okay, Joe. Gimme Moors or Moors the pity?
Very good. He was my pick. We talked about this before, didn't we, that we weren't quite sure why we wanted him, but we did.
It seemed to make sense.
He's progressive. He's saying the right things. Whether it's a bit of spin or not, he did say that as important to him as not as important, but a big part of it being his coach has shown that this side is making progress, taking the team forward, not just doing the same thing each time. So that's encouraging to hear after what we've seen over the winter. And he's got a good record with Sussex and Lancashire, and he did some good things and a few bad things at England. So I think, I definitely think he's worth another crack. I wouldn't say I go in there absolutely full of confidence that it's going to work. It's perhaps not perfect, but these aren't perfect times for English cricket.
I felt, watching the press conference with Peter Moores and Paul Downton of Downton Abbey fame and Alistair Cook, that he'd been reading E.M. Forster's Howards End, because Only Connect, you'll recall, is the intro on Howards End. And every third word, connect. We're going to connect.
He does have buzzwords.
Just say that.
And he really buzzed the bugger out of everybody present, didn't he?
Yeah. I call it Moore's Code.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, I should put a jingle in.
Hello. More on that next week. I'd like to do a Moore's Code quiz to counter your quiz that we're going to be having later on, listeners, about bits of jargon.
I'm really worried about the quiz.
Which have Moore's used? Which hasn't he used? Well, are you worried about the quiz, Al? It's a who's who quiz, everybody.
Listener, to let you in, we're not just going to be discussing Peter Moore's the whole show, only maybe about 75% of it. There is going to be an unexpected quiz, which I thought was a joke, Joe Harmon.
No, I don't know. We never joke about the cricketers who's who. It's a serious business. And you obviously haven't done your revision. So Ross obviously starts as favourite.
I have done a mock with my girlfriend. I did a mock exam for the who's who. What do you think about that, Phil?
Whatever you get up to in your spare time is none of my business.
All right, well, we're going to have a bit of that. And also, we're going to be looking at relative age effect. Is there a travesty in the England selection system that's gone unnoticed until the pod blast reveals the unfairness?
Is this your Malcolm Gladwell puff piece?
It is a little bit, yeah. I read a book, listener.
He's read a book.
That's what it comes down to. I read a book and I thought it was very clever.
Let me see straight back into Peter Moore's. There was a bit of a piece written today in The Guardian. Ooh, there was a bit of a piece written
well
in The Guardian.
Top.
It was pretty over the top, wasn't it, Phil?
Yeah, it was. It was totally over the top for my money. He went after him for the evident reason that Moores was a failure back in the old days when he was in charge and is to this day and some kind of establishment figure, that it's a continuity move by the ECB, that he is essentially Flowers' poodle. That he's not going to ruffle any feathers, that he's going to be perfectly well-behaved, and that will be that. Personally, I don't agree with it. I think he's a far more smarter and more sophisticated and respected coach than that.
I wonder, actually, we probably need a dictionary of etymology, why somebody is somebody's poodle? Does anybody know?
I don't know.
Add that to the quiz?
Is it a lap dog? Does it come from the lap dog? And is the poodle the ultimate lap dog?
The poodle is the ultimate pathetic thing that you can be as a lap dog, isn't it?
Mm. Is a poodle a lap dog?
I could put a dog that is a poodle on my lap. I have a lap dog. It's a teacup Yorkshire Terrier.
Called Leroy.
That's
otherwise known as Hero. Okay, going back to some heroes. Peter Moores, he chose some real England heroes during his time in charge. Let's name a few of the players that he picked from obscurity.
Graham Swan, obviously.
Graham Swan.
That's a good one.
Monty was doing well, but he brought Graham Swan anyway. You saw Graham Swan on Test debut, Joe.
I did. I was in Chennai for that Test match that was meant to be originally in Mumbai, and then obviously there was the terrorist attacks.
And luckily you were just hanging around in Chennai.
I was just there.
Got to watch some cricket.
And I was like, got some cricket to arrive. Yeah.
Visiting a friend.
But yeah, knock. Swan was, it's easy to forget. Swan was a surprise pick, really, for that squad, having been had his chance and then being ushered aside and looked like he was destined for a career in the Shires. And then Peter Moores plucks him from that, and suddenly we've got the most successful test spinner that England have arguably ever had. So, these things are often forgotten with Peter Moores. And it's partly because the main story is Moores and Peterson, and sometimes it can be a bit difficult to get past that. But there's a lot of good in there as well.
Yeah, lovely.
He was the first man to pick Broad, was he? Another one?
I think you're right, Ross.
Oh, thanks.
And of course, Faith in Pryor, Sidebottom, who was named a Wisden Cricketer of the Year during Moore's reign.
What it shows is a faith in county cricket and a faith in certain characters who were maybe unfashionable under the previous regime.
You can bet if Moores had picked that Ashes squad that Graham Onions would have definitely been part of that squad and very possibly been part of that side.
And
he won't ignore 70 championship wickets, and I think that's right. I think that's the right way to go.
Although I read on holiday in Barbados a Gideon Hay collection of journalism around the 2009 Ashes, and it really reminded me that Onions, he wasn't that good.
He was decent.
That morning at Edgbaston.
He hit Watson on the pads, which admittedly you could, from 30 yards.
You mean I could? I don't recognise that.
The old loopers.
Really well in South Africa without getting many wickets for it.
I think I always felt
it was only the injury that got him out of that side. Otherwise, he would have been, and then he just struggled to get back into it.
But all right, I rescind it.
Rescind it.
Yeah.
Okay. Pet peeves.
I've got a pet peeve. I've got a pet peeve about media coverage of the whole Moore situation. Phil Walker's broken in the background.
Yeah, he's having his own private conversation. What are you talking about, Walker? Now, what is this? Andy Bull? Back to the Andy Bull?
It's
or
not,
who else?
No. Evening Standard tonight picked it up. The spin coming out of ECB headquarters is that Moores is going to strip back the support staff, the too many support staff. And I've always thought that instinctively, mostly because I've read other people write it. There are too many support staff.
Oh, there's too many. How many are there?
And they said, we're going to strip back the support staff. Because under Andy Flower, get this, under Andy Flower, there was a coach. And then there was a fielding coach and a batting coach and a bowling coach and a wicket-keeping coach. Mm. I mean, what an outrage. What an outrage to have an individual coach for each of the main sections of going about cricket.
There are a lot more, though, aren't there? There are kind of nutritionist assistants, probably. We'd need to have the full staff list here.
He's going
to
streamline all those coaches because he can do the wicket-keeping, all right? And the only fan of Saker apparently is Anderson. And they're not going to have him around on match days. Apparently that was a waste of time. Can't have Bruce French around on match day.
They're going pro rata. That's what they're saying. They're essentially going pro rata to save money.
I think maybe that's it. And I thought about American football and all of those coaches, like technical linebackers, assistant, third coach. And you never get anyone in American football being like, we lost. We got too many of them.
We got too many players. Too
many
ridiculous
coaches. We got a whole third team on the sideline just wasting their time. They weren't on the field.
You're with the whole, you know...
Keep them all, I say. I mean, don't necessarily...
Get more
keep
of them in. More of them.
What is better than having Gooch as a batting coach? Gooch and Graham Thorpe. What's better than having Gooch and Graham Thorpe as your batting coach? Gooch and Graham Thorpe and Graham Hick. Just keep going.
Build your entourage. Well, what a fantastic beginning to the county season.
Do you know
been.
What? I just pointed at you because I thought you were going to go, County News!
Oh, really?
So I'm just going to do it now.
Do it now.
County News!
Very good.
How was that?
That was excellent.
That was very
good. Thank you.
County News. I might have done that. But listen, there's been some fantastic runs. There's been some fantastic games, I think, particularly in the second round. Well, all games seem to get a result and go the full distance, four days.
Focus.
Third
and
round,
analysis.
Not so much. The ones that have just finished, I think, one win, all the rest were draws.
A bit more disappointing.
But the no, devil reigned.
There were some great games. Northants Durham was a great finish.
Terrific, yeah. And some fantastic cricket from some characters we know and love. Some of our favourite characters on the county cricket scene.
Well, can I begin with Michael Carberry?
Carb's got a century, didn't
got
he?
Got a century.
Talk us through it.
Unbeaten. Smashed it around for Hampshire, who were looking pretty good. and then either before or after has had another blast at the England selectors. Just keep going, Mark. Keep going, Carl.
Well, Marley's got the press's ear. He might keep, might as well keep kind of letting it out.
Yeah, why not?
Stay on the front foot. What was
For Hampshire, right, it's James Vince that we should be talking about. He's in the runs in every innings, pretty much.
Pretty much got another 50 today. Yeah. 144 was his century score.
He's scored his runs quickly as well. Yeah. The kind of 70-80 strike rate, which... in this kind of post-Peterson era, we're looking for someone to come in and score runs quickly in the middle order. Everyone's saying it's Morgan, but he's had one score so far. Vince is another option, isn't he?
Apparently, he's a lot like Michael Vaughan, but not a twat.
Oh, I see.
It's a perfect combination of factors.
That's a casual bit of slander, just under the radar.
Thank you.
I like it very much. Phil, who's been exciting you early in this season?
South Africa excited me. I've spent 10 days out there. Absolutely beautiful.
Phil's been on holiday everywhere.
I have been studying Quick Info scorecards at least once every 4 days, though.
That's good. I've seen that
Finney's gone for a few and taken a few.
Yeah, there's a shock.
Yeah, but he's taken a few. Yeah. And he's playing as well. And there was even a question mark against that. So that's good to see. I don't think he should be playing in the first test match. I think he needs to just get used to it all again.
But his own captain said that, didn't he? Chris Rogers. Yeah. It's probably worth listening to.
Mm. Yeah, indeed. A little bit more than me. But I think I think he's...
You're worth listening
to. It's all right. I just feel a bit delicate. That's all. It's my second day back.
We all feel sensitive sometimes. And we should never feel... embarrassed to just say we're feeling a little vulnerable.
And it's never bad to hug it out.
No, never.
Just hug it out.
Yeah. So just talking about other England players, Balance, 170 odd,
yeah.
Tapping it around.
Balance is definitely their boy. Balance has all the components that they're going to look for.
Well, he's not from England.
Exactly, that's
there,
the
there
big
is
one.
That added benefit straight off.
He went to Harrow.
He went to Harrow. But on a scholarship.
Yes.
Oh.
Key point.
Well, they all do, don't they? Because they're sportsmen. I mean, Stuart Broad couldn't afford Millfield or wherever he went. He was on a sport. They're all on sports scholarships, aren't they?
Oakham.
Yeah.
He probably could have afforded it.
I sort of assumed that they weren't sort of moneyed, but they were. They all got scholarships to go.
No, I think it's a bit of both, mate.
Yeah.
Often.
We should do some research.
We should, if we're going to talk about it. But Gary Barnes, I mean, just the sheer fact that he's averaged so high in all forms of the game, I think he's a great cricketer.
T20 time as well, yeah.
T20 has been overlooked a little, given that a couple of seasons ago he was the biggest six-hitter in the country.
And Jason Gillespie made a good point after his 170 for Yorkshire, that he went on the Ashes tour. He didn't get his chances for the last test, which was a horrible time to come in. England haven't played a test since. Why should he be dropped? He was the leading run scorer in Division 1 last year, and he's already started like a train this year. He wasn't in mine when we picked our test 11s at the start of the year. He wasn't in mine. I'm now thinking that's probably a bit unfair. I'm not really sure why he wasn't. There is a little bit of, he was on that Ashes tour, so God, don't want anything to do with that. But that's not really fair in Balance's case, because he had very little to do with it.
It's not a very balanced approach.
Oh, Phil, do you think he'll make it in by first test time?
If he doesn't play the first test, then he'll certainly be playing soon enough, probably by the end of the summer. And I think he'll play a lot of games.
Where does he bat for Yorkshire?
He bats at six, which is quite an interesting spot for a player who is a heavy run scorer and a versatile player. He bats six, but he batted at three for England in the warm-up games. I forget where he batted in the Ashes. By the end of it, I was so depressed.
About five, I think.
About five, yeah. Five or six.
But he has the tempo and the technique and the level-headedness that they would look for in a player in that kind of position, because they're going to play some dashes around Balance. They'll play Bell at three or four, and then
Balance said he wants to play at four.
He said that, yeah, it's good on him as well. I think Balance will come in there at five or six. Stokes may be moving down to seven, and then they will have a dasher next to him. You know, it will be Morgan or it will be Ravi at a push. Maybe even Moeen Ali coming in there at five. You know, but I think just Balance has all the components that they look for. He's young, he plays all three formats, he's left-handed. And they will like the way that he accumulates runs.
He's batting at five this year. So far, he's batted at five.
Right.
Yeah.
Rashid's been batting at six. He's also a bit of an outsider for me, maybe, if we're looking really left field for spinners.
Who's better at him than Borthwick as a leg spinner?
As a leggy, hard to say.
It's difficult to know, because when you talk about Borthwick's had a good season, well, Rashid had a terrific season with the bat last season. And also, I think he might, at this stage, maybe offer a little bit of ball, a bit more with the ball. With Borthwick, it's about potential.
Joe, your favourite, he's doing well.
Yeah, well, Nick Compton, I think, particularly with the sad news about Jonathan Trott, who obviously isn't going to play for England again. We need someone Trott-esque at number three, and that means...
Hang on a sec, can I rewind?
Yeah.
Trott, never for England again? Is that the impression you're getting?
No, to me, it feels a little bit... I'm uneasy talking about it, to be honest, but as we're on the spot, I don't think he'll be featuring.
He's in a bad way. Again. He's come back very quickly. We all wish him well for his recovery.
For sure. It must be devastating.
Except for Nick Compton, who apparently, last time he was seen, he was standing in the middle of Somerset rubbing his hands together with glee. thank you.
Well, it goes back to that classic response after Trott came home after Brisbane when he posted that infamous Twitter picture, which, of course, you spoke to him about in this upcoming match.
Yeah, he did say he felt a little bit silly afterwards, but yeah, it tweeted a picture of him playing the perfect backward defensive shot as England were getting rolled out in Brisbane to say to the selectors, "I'm still here."
I love that.
Which perhaps, yeah, but more effectively today he's got a ton, and that's the best way of getting the attention of the selectors. And I think he is that. If we're going with either potentially we've got Cook and then Robson or Root opening, then I think Compton's a really good.
That's a stodgy top three, isn't it? Cook, Robson, Compton. Crikey, O'Reilly.
You can get people are getting so wound up about this, the balance you've got in your batting lineup. You need people who are going to bat for ages and score loads of runs, and that's pretty much it. Mm. The England run rate's been much lower since Compton hasn't been in the side, not because of Compton scoring his runs quickly, but because he's set a platform for other people to follow. So I think your top three can be stodgy. If we had a Dhawan, we had a Warner, great, play him, fantastic, but we don't. I mean, we can throw Hales in there, but he's going to be gone in the first 3 hours.
And for 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, they're all stroke makers.
Yeah, because Stephen Davis is quite the stroke maker.
Oh,
anybody who doesn't select
must be that time of week.
But listen, I think that's a great stat there, Joe, because the fact that we all would say that Compton, he must bring the strike rate down. But if he doesn't, you know, we're really talking about players done really well today. England, you know, certainly haven't gone in the right direction since he was left out. And I just think we're so... Darren Layman has got into the mind of all of us, every single one of us. Oh, it's not exciting cricket. Shut up. I don't care.
You're having a conversation with him in your own head.
Get off me, Darren. I wake up every morning sweaty, having had a fight with him in the night. And he's a great man, but I don't want to do that anymore. But the fact is, Layman, he's told us that we're not exciting. We all believe it. We're so English about it. We're going, oh, God, yeah, I suppose we should play a few more shots. Get lost. But get three stodgies up there. Put 300 for one.
We got scared and then we got even more boring. I'm not when we were losing the Ashes. We're just insanely low. But you're right. So we need to shut up, Darren. Well,
I think what Joe has said is something that's counterintuitive.
Ooh.
Yeah? So we're going to be coming back after this mindless jingle with another bit of information that might be counterintuitive.
Is this a pun?
No. Well, all those that have enjoyed the Podblast over the years know that we like to educate as well as speculate. In fact, we take our responsibilities in that area extremely seriously, don't we, Ross?
We certainly do, Alex.
And Ross, I read a book. It's called Outliers. It's by Malcolm Gladwell. And it begins by analysing how we determine success. And he looks at ice hockey in Canada. And he says this is a system where the entire country is built to identify talent and move it up the talent pyramid towards professional hockey. And at every age group, everybody is analysed, and the strongest players are put into fast-track systems with better coaches to move them forward.
That sounds like county cricket to me, Al.
Well, it sounds like sport the world over, and it certainly sounds like cricket, Ross. So just moving through this dry patch, because we're going to become very wet very soon with excitement.
Oh, my God.
We went there.
Yeah. Hey, went there. Guys. Jesus.
We need to have a look at actually whether it's true.
Far too much.
Was that too much?
No, carry on.
Okay. I'll carry on. A study by Loughborough University in 2006 identified...
I can't take you seriously.
It's gone dry again. Go on.
That 34%, that's over a third of players in county cricket, were born between September and November, which is the cut-off for age groups in this country. So you should have about a quarter of players falling with each 3 months, but in fact, you get over a third of them.
Start of the school year, right?
It's the start of the school year. Mm-hmm. And how do they pick school teams at a young age?
Biggest, strongest.
Biggest, fastest. Strongest physical specimens. And this is called relative age effect. And you can see it in county cricket. It's the only study that's ever been done of cricket. Very detailed studies done the world over in both soccer and ice hockey. And so I thought I'd have a bit of a look at the England under-19s World Cup squad. But then the rules to do with who qualifies for that became too complicated for my simple mind, and I abandoned that project.
Probably
for the best. And then I found the Loughborough thing.
When were you born, Alex?
I was born in January, so I had really every opportunity.
Yeah.
Where were you born, Phil?
Kind of fair middling, isn't it? I'm October, so I'm the strapping Adonis.
And of course, you were taken through the Essex youth system.
Indeed. In fact, I'm actually wearing the shirt.
There we are. Joe, what about you?
Trying to recreate the glory days, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm still living it.
I was born in March, so I've obviously struggled.
Have you ever been picked in an age group section representative in any way?
Representative of my school.
Good. Good. You're off.
I represented my school at most sports very badly.
Good. Well, that's excellent. I mean, there are obviously variables like, did you go to a good school or a crap sporting school? I went to a crap sporting school.
As did I.
And therefore, I was able to captain the cricket team because I had two arms and two legs and I'd seen a cricket ball before. So they wore me out. So that's relative age effect. England team, they're looking at, have we accessed all the communities that play cricket in the country? Are the urban inner cities plugged in? Are the state schools plugged in? But maybe it's just a question of selecting in a different way.
Based on birthday purely, or based not on birthday?
Well, you can
purely.
Do all sorts of things. You can have tournaments throughout the year where the age cutoff is different. You can split years into 6-month sections, or you can just pick the weedy kid and keep an eye on him, put an arm round him. This isn't personal in any way.
This is the push towards James Taylor's selection, isn't it?
Here we go. I'd like to know right now when James Taylor was born, because maybe he was born.
Should I research?
Yeah, let's keep it up now. He's probably born. Are you suggesting he's just younger than everyone else? That's a very odd theory, but I like it.
He's younger and smaller.
He's younger than we think he is.
I won't lie to you, Ross. I find stats a bit complicated.
You do.
I set out on this project thinking it'd be relatively simple, but I was easily disabused of that.
So he's born in the same month as you.
Yeah, January. There you go.
And you're a short ass as well.
Yeah, that's right.
Ooh.
Maybe it's because we're both Aquarius. It's quiz time, Joe Harmon.
Shake it out, Alex.
I'm terrified.
You need to relax after that science breakdown. Otherwise, I'm going to get my quiz hands all over you, and I'm going to put them round your throat.
Hold your quiz hands back, Ross. Okay. We've got to have some questions first. Then get your quiz hands round his throat. And
okay.
Choke him.
I just want to know in advance before we start, Phil, who do you think is going to win out of me and Ross?
Should we do, that's what the quiz is first. All Out Cricket produced the Cricketers Who's Who, the Bible to the English summer, apart from that Wisden one. Which players give a bit of trivia about themselves. So we've set up a quiz. Alex v Ross head to head. I am Quizmaster. Phil is my beautiful nerdish assistant who'll give a bit of maybe additional info to some of the questions that I'm asking.
Phil's a bit overdressed for my liking.
For overdressed?
Yeah. Assistant. Glamorous assistant.
He needs to take some
show a bit of leg.
Al, you're off on one at the moment.
All right, Joe.
Are you ready?
Yeah, let's get this over and done with because I'm not feeling confident.
So you can answer. Actually, should we toss for it? Do something. Hoot to you.
Yeah, I've got a coin right here.
You've got a coin. This is great radio. This is great pod blasting.
I've got money.
Go on.
Listener, what I've got now is I've got a pound coin.
It's a pound.
My thumb and forefinger, and I'm going to flick it up in
the air. Flick it.
Yeah, here we go. Call it.
Heads
it is.
Oh. Should
you go first? I'll open up, please, Mr. Harmon.
You'll open up?
Yeah.
You won the toss and elected to chat.
Oh, it's a pun from our first show, listeners.
Okay, question one. We've got five of these. Question one. What does Chris Tremlett say he is capable of hiding in his mouth?
An orange.
Am I allowed to try and answer?
You both got to answer the same question.
Okay. What,
which is why I thought it was odd that you went first.
Hiding in his mouth. His teeth.
The correct answer was a tennis ball.
Oh.
Do you have any additional info on Chris Tremlett's mouth?
It's massive.
It's a big mouth. I was going to say two oranges.
Well, that would be extraordinary.
It's a huge mouth, though. It is huge.
It's big everything.
I think we should rotate who has the first question. So this time, Alex answers first. Question two. Which England batsman is learning to play the ukulele?
Okay, I'm going to pause now for a moment because the listener will probably want to think, who is that England batsman who's learning to play the ukulele? And we can all think it together. It'll be a communal radio experience.
And then you will answer.
The England batsman who's trying to learn to play the ukulele is it's Joe Root.
It is Joe Root, I believe.
Correct.
Oh. See, we're going first now. It's,
you both read all that cricket, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. We certainly did. Do we both get a point for that?
I think we do.
I like this quiz.
Okay. I think that's suspect rules.
Sorry. What do you think?
Have you got any additional info about Joe Root's UK playing?
Yeah, he bought it when he was out on the England tour. And he played it a bit in his hotel room, and he's kind of lost his way a little bit since.
So he's really not committed much time to it at all.
You might be one up in this quiz.
Thanks, Ross.
No, that's one. That's one.
Okay, one each.
That's
okay.
One each. That's
I like
one
these
each.
Rules.
Ross, you're answering first this time.
Okay.
Which England spinner lists the fact that he enjoys growing his own fruit and veg as a surprising fact about himself?
Which spinner?
Which England spinner says that growing his own fruit and veg is the most surprising thing he can think about himself?
James Treadwell?
Alex?
Yeah, well, I was going to say Monty Panesar, but surely pitting on people in the middle of the night is the most surprising thing about himself. So if he's an England spinner, I'm going to say Borthwick.
It was indeed James Treadwell.
Yeah. Oh, he's just right for that, isn't he?
Do you have a fact about either James Treadwell or fruit and veg, Phil?
Yeah, James Treadwell is the son of one of the great Kent League cricketers of all time, and NASA always talks about James Treadwell's early experiences playing in the Kent Leagues.
Off the cuff.
How many more questions are there? Because we're hemorrhaging listeners.
No. They love it. Right, let's go.
Are we ready?
We're ready.
Oh, is it my? I'm first, yes.
Okay, sorry, so question four, or five, only two to go, listeners, hang with us, is which hard-hitting all-rounder says he always likes to have a lamb dinner the night before he bats?
Oh, it's Peter Trigo. Because lamb in Somerset, I imagine, is free range and delicious.
I would say it's Ben Stokes because he looks like a lamb man.
I'm afraid you're both wrong. The answer was Graham Napier.
Oh, do you know, I was going to say Graham Napier, but I said Peter Trigo, which is the wrong answer.
Phil, can you...
Graham Napier once dribbled on my shoulder in the back of a Sierra, and that is the truth.
That's good.
Is that a euphemism?
No.
No, what's wrong with you?
What's it so? He's off on one. He's off on one, listeners. I like that fact.
Okay.
Question five.
Fifth and final question. Essex and former England paceman Saj Mahmood lists not one but three surprising facts about himself. Can you tell me what they are? This is just a free-for-all.
Oh, I'll right.
Give you he used to stack shelves in Tesco's.
No.
He's.
He did, though.
Oh, did he?
He once played for England.
Is he mad, bad and dangerous to know?
He's Amir Khan's cousin.
Oh, that would have been a good one. Much better than these. But no, that's not what he put.
He hears no evil, sees no evil, speaks no evil.
He's slightly taller than you imagine.
No.
He's best friends with... Rhys Topley, who incidentally started following us on Twitter this week, Ross.
Oh, that's nice.
I'm going to end
no,
this.
Go on.
I'm going to end this.
What is it?
Are we done?
Yeah.
So, one, he's a qualified sailor.
No.
What is a qualified sailor?
He's got a badge. Done his badges.
Got a badge. Two, he played the banjo.
No, that's a lie.
Him and Joe Richard get together.
Yes.
And three, I like this one, he's a good listener.
Hence, he's a member of the show.
Oh, that's lovely.
That's a delight.
So... The scores are, I believe, hang on, Ross 2, Alex 1.
I think so. I think I won.
Yeah
I still think that Peter Trigo is right, though.
No, well, it's not.
I'm going to call Peter Trigo and ask, do you also eat lamb before you play? Because if he also does, I'm taking half a point.
Oh, wow, what a weird and wonderful show it's been. And do you know what I wanted to mention right at the end? Some of the weird and wonderful players, not the in crowd, but the other guys who have been smashing it up in the early weeks, of the county season. Daryl Mitchell, I'm thinking, Worcestershire's own. And also Ed Joyce. What do you think about Ed Joyce, guys?
He's a lovely batsman to watch, isn't he?
He's
he
lovely.
He scores a lot of runs, and that's a good combination for a batsman to have.
Now, isn't he going to be featured in the new upcoming issue of All That Cricket?
Say that, Ross, because he is going to be All That Cricket's Man of the Month in the next issue, so look out for that. What else can we look forward to in the next issue of All That Cricket, Phil?
Ah, loads of stuff. Owen Morgan, exclusive interview. Graham Smith goes under the lid. We have 25 pages on spin bowling and who the hell should take over Swan's mantle.
Yes.
And a load of nonsense and bollocks.
The potential spin replacements?
What?
I'm 32.
You're number 32 ranked to be to only to come in.
I'm still pickable. I'm working on a deucera.
Joe, anything else?
One of our writers, Henry, took a trip to Worcestershire and was in the dressing room for the match against Kent. So I had got a proper feel for the whole of what being in a county dressing room means. So that's a good one. It'll be really good, that piece.
Tweet us.